Go ahead and take your seat if you want to. You can stand during the sermon. It wouldn't bother me. A light that is coming. We're going to talk about a girl who needed that light in her life because she was about to have some trouble today. Her name is Mary. Mary had some problems. She had some difficulties. It's the 1st of December. I am in. I get in the 1st of November. December. Who loves Christmas? How many of you, is it your first Christmas at Mossvale? Oh. Initiation time. We do Christmas big here and we love it, but we love the Jesus of Christmas. We may do other things and have other events and things going on, but make no mistake, it's all about Jesus. We're here to glorify and lift up his name in everything that we do, in every way we possibly can. So brace yourself for a wonderful season of joy. And I'm just praying that this is the most ridiculously wonderful Christmas that you've ever had. And these I'm preaching it in the next 24 days or so. We'll go 24 years. Okay, bless the Lord. If I'm still doing this in 24 years, that will be a miracle. 24 days are going to be the best 24 days of your life. This is one of the best known, if not the best known, perhaps, story in the Bible. And the most ridiculous, and the most wonderful, and the most beautiful. The account of the angel. Who loves the angels? I love the angels. You know, we sing with the angels. You're not sure about that, are you? There's a song we used to sing years ago. There's an angel. See how I did that? Men, look and learn. Look and learn how you do this. We used to sing a song that went like this. We shall have a grand time up in heaven, singing hallelujah, singing glory hallelujah. We shall have a grand time up in heaven with the angels singing hallelujah. Now, we can sing with angels right now. You know that? You're not sure, are you? You're not sure what the theology is here. I can tell, but it's okay, because there's angels in the balcony. You're not sure about that, are you? I'm not going to go there this morning. I'm not convincing anybody. This is a story of an angel called Gabriel. Say Gabriel. Do you believe in the angel Gabriel? Okay, then that's good. Now he, or the angel, made an appearance before. Come on, Jack, sort it. That is no angel there. I'm kidding, Lorna. I'm kidding, Lorna. You know I love her. But this is a young Jewish peasant girl in the Bible. And he comes along and he announced to this girl that she is actually going to be the mother of the Son of God. Who believes that? I thought Friday night was a tough crowd. And you can imagine this little girl. Let's not call her a woman. This little girl, she blushed and wondered aloud, how could such a thing be possible? Since she is still a virgin and engaged to be married to a guy called Joseph. Now the angel told her that she would be made pregnant by the Holy Spirit. He said, I love this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Beautiful. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And then Scripture says, for nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. I still believe that. Nothing impossible. Not only would a pregnancy now need to be effected, but they were going to have to deal here with the grave problem of how Joseph was going to react to this announcement that his fiancée is pregnant. The explanation is given that it is because of the Holy Spirit. I love the Holy Spirit. Now, according to the law of Moses, we're digressing here, adultery was punishable by stoning to death, even though scripturally, even though few adulteresses were actually stoned, all were ashamed, as was their children, as was the rest of their lives. But that was kind of God's problem right here. That was God's problem. As far as this young woman was concerned, all she had to worry about was just doing what God was telling her to do. So she says, and this is the magic. So she says to Gabriel, I'm the Lord's servant. Beautiful. I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me as you have said. Have you ever said that? And that was that. That was it settled right there. Now hear this today, church. From one generation to another, this little girl, this little woman has been known as the mother of God. The one who gave birth to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The one who was, believe it or not, fully human and yet fully divine. Completely. God's own son. God's own son. And I want to bring two questions that we will have known or heard or thought of in days gone by of this story to us today. What is God doing here? What is God doing here? And why did he choose little Mary to do it? And I'll just spend a few moments on the first question, but a little lingering more over the second question. First of all, what is God doing here? Well, stated in the barest possible terms, he was entering into human history, into human flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ. That's what he is doing. The child to be born was to be born of woman, thank God for woman, fully human. The child is also to be born of God, fully divine. As we look at it, the mystery here of Jesus Christ is present at the moment of his conception. He is, in fact, the God-man. He is the God-man. And here's something I thought about this week. And forgive me if I offend you. Too often, I believe, the church and wider people, too often we get hung up on the doctrine of the virgin birth. And it's important. How could such a thing happen? And I think we kind of missed the real point here of everything that's going on. The miracle of the virgin birth rests on a greater and deeper mystery than that. God enters our plane of existence and he begins as an infant. And if we are to look at that, and if we are to carry the logic of that to its full limitations, we must also affirm that God himself stooped to enter at the most basic and primitive human level, an embryo implanted in the uterus of Mary. If we look at it in this fashion, the miracle of the virgin birth actually rests upon the mystery of the incarnation, which we're looking at right now. And I would say this, next to the mystery of the incarnation, the question of how a virgin could conceive fades into insignificance. When I look at that, I think that's actually small stuff. That is small stuff. The grand miracle is the mystery that God took on human flesh. That is the mystery. When God took on human flesh, he did something right here. Now watch this, and this blows my mind. And I really saw this for the first time this week because I am a slow burner. But when I get it, I get fired up. But I'm a slow burner. Then I get it, then we're all in trouble. Well, when I looked at this week, I saw this as something in Scripture that was actually equivalent to what God did when his Spirit hovered over the watery chaos at the beginning of time and spoke the universe into existence. This here today in our story is not much different from what he did when his Spirit impregnated a young girl and then a new creation actually began. You're not convinced. See, I would say to you, the way I see Scripture, Jesus Christ was to be the first of a very brand new humanity. Brand new humanity. And that humanity would reverse the process that death began when mankind sinned way back in the beginning. And I submit to you, can I do this? I submit to you that next to what God did, what God was doing in the beginning in a human, by becoming a human being, the question of how a virgin could give birth is almost hardly worth asking. The real question is this. for me today. How did God do this great miracle and then walk among us? Why was Mary chosen to do this? You see, when organizations want to add new staff, the process of selection usually begins with a committee. The first job is to take a long, hard look at the job description and formulate from that list a list of qualifications necessary to get that job done. Then they look for someone who exactly fits that list of qualifications. Now, I just outlined for you what God was doing in the virgin birth. He was entering into human history. He was beginning a new creation. Is there anyone here, when you get saved, became a new creation in Christ? Seven of us, well, we're good. We're going well today. Altar call for salvation, definitely at the close today. Right there, God was doing something in that new creation, something without precedent at all. Something completely radical, because what he was saying at that moment is this: I am going to save the world. And I got saved. I get saved because of what he did 2,000 years ago. Now, in view of that job description, what kind of person was God looking for to launch this great program? This great program, when God, listen to this, when God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit met together for that meeting to decide on the person for the job, what qualities were they looking for? Why did they choose Mary? And I want to suggest to you three incredible qualities that I see in this little girl, and I ask myself, why was she chosen? And you can write these down, ponder these in your heart as she did, and consider them later on. Number one, I believe the first reason God chose her was because of her receptivity. Her receptivity, and it may seem far, far too obvious, but sometimes we're not too receptive. Like so many things that are obvious, it can be so basic that it's overlooked. It is overlooked. Clearly, Mary is receptive. What I find so amazing and so fascinating about her is that she did not seem at the least surprised that God was talking to her, God was having a conversation with her, or that an angel appeared. It was what he was saying that got her a little bit disturbed. What he's saying to her life. See, she's not like Uncle Zachariah, who was terrified at what he saw. Mary almost seems able to accept what she is seeing. It's what she's hearing that has her slightly off balance. Look at the word of God. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. We'll come back to that in a minute. The point I want the church to get today is this. Mary was absolutely open to be spoken to by God. Beautiful. She was therefore also open to bear God's Son in her young body. Beautiful. And so, it must be for us. Those of us who would have ears to hear and receive the life-giving word of God today. This must be something that happens to us. Something that happens to us. And all we can do is stay quiet or keep quiet and passively receive what God is doing or God is saying. The doctrine of the virgin birth says that Jesus came from above, not below. He comes and he came because of God's will and not our own will. It is something that we can only open ourselves up to receive. See, when we want something, listen to this, when we want something done, we may say, don't just stand there, do something. I heard this week, when God wants to get something done in us, he says, don't just do something, stand there. We cannot make God happen in our lives. We cannot bring new life. We don't have that. We can only receive it. We can only receive what God has for us. Jesus says the Spirit of God is like the wind that blows where and when it wants to. It cannot be controlled. It cannot be predicted. The best we can do is keep our sails spread out to catch the broadside of the wind when the Spirit blows. And the Spirit is blowing today. So how can we as the church, or how can we as individuals, how can we be a people who are receptive? And I believe, first of all, it begins by you and I asking God to make us that way. Make me that way. Even receptivity is something we cannot make happen for ourselves. This won't happen just for us. This is a gift from God. Who would like the gift to hear God more deeply? I definitely would. Well, if you're willing today, if you're willing to let God create that kind of grace in your life, then ask Him. Ask Him vocally to do it. If you're not sure you're willing, then ask God to make you willing for this gift. The point is, the gift of God's Spirit is not something you and I can just all of a sudden make happen. The quality of receptivity is something God's Spirit must actually build into us or create in our life. Then secondly, and this becomes a little bit more tricky for some of us today, if we are to become people who are receptive people, then we must become willing to be interrupted. Hello? Hello? The God I serve cannot be scheduled in. Did you hear that? And that's where we are sometimes. If your whole life is scheduled like mine is most of the time, and God forgive me for that, you're going to find yourself waiting a long time before you actually hear God speak to you. This may be true. See, God is not going to be restricted to Sunday morning. That's just not going to happen. If our good God cannot meet with you and I on His own terms and in His own way and in His own time, the probability is He's not going to meet with us at all. And this becomes somewhat practical. Jesus says we meet God when we meet our neighbor's needs. Scripture. Jesus said, feeding the hungry and clothing the naked is the same as feeding and clothing Jesus. So if we have no time to receive our neighbor, if we have no time, then we have no time to receive God. It's the same thing. If little children and the lonely neighbor next door cannot interrupt you or come alongside, the chances are God's not going to show up and interrupt you either in our comfortable lives. And then thirdly, receptive people, they have actually an attitude of expectancy. They're waiting for something. They're believing for something. You can expect God at some time very soon to make Himself known to you. But listen to this. You cannot control how or when He will do it. That's interesting. But you can trust His promise and wait for God expectantly to show up. One of the Lord's favorite expressions was, if you have ears, let Him hear. Listen, church. Keep your eyes open. Expect. When you come to worship, expect God to meet you right there. Expect God to meet you at that place. And then God, secondly, God chose Mary because of her humility. Her great humility. He chose her because she was receptive. He chose her because she was willing to be interrupted. But I wonder how expectant was she? He chose her because of her humility. You've already seen that her surprise is not so much that she is spoken to by God, but it's what she hears. And look at the words that are spoken over this little girl's life. Gabriel says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored." Wow. The Lord is with you. Magic. But that's what troubled Mary. That's what troubled her. It's that exalted salutation. Why should she be spoken to with those words? And then later when Gabriel explains to her what's going to happen, how she will conceive a child as a virgin at the risk of her reputation and perhaps even at the risk of her own life, she can only respond by saying, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Church, with Mary, and this is where some denominations get this slightly wrong, look at this today. With Mary, actually, everything she does is directed away from herself to what God is doing through her and what God is doing in her. See, Scripture says, God dwells with the humble and God dwells with the lowly. That's the promise of Scripture. Check out Psalm 138, verse 6. Though the Lord is on high, he looks upon who? The lowly. Isaiah 57, verse 15, we read, "For this is the high and this is what the high and lofty one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit." What a faith we are seeing in this woman. What a faith we are seeing in this girl. Can anyone, and I'm talking to the ladies now, really, can anyone know better than a mother what it means to stop advancing yourself? A mother's entire body adjusts itself to the necessities of childbirth. From the moment of conception, her body is no longer her own. There's a letting go right there of personal sovereignty in the bearing of children that is like the life of God in our very own lives. And it actually means stepping back, and it means playing second fiddle. I heard this comment a while ago. Musically and spiritually speaking, our life with God is not to be sung in unison, but to be sung in harmony. Beautiful harmony. And living as we do here in this day and age, living as we do in this age of birth control and Planned Parenthood, can we ever truly imagine what it must have meant for Mary to be told by God that she was going to be blessed with a child, not of her own choosing, not of her own time? Could any of us truly accept that? Could we embrace that? And I'll tell you who could. The humble, the contrite. The humble could accept that only those who know they are not their own could be accepting of such a request. And this leads us to the final part of what we're saying today regarding Mary. God chose Mary to be the mother of Jesus, his son, and he chose her predominantly because she was a servant. And God is looking for servants still today. She said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Mary is the Lord's servant. Her body is not her own. Her reputation was not her own. She is the Lord's servant. Therefore, her future is no longer her own. Like the servant we read about in Psalm 123, she was saying to God, "As the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God." Listen to this. In those particular days, servants didn't just go, and I love this, servants didn't just go by verbal commands. Good servants, humble servants, the best of servants, so fixed their attention on their master that the slightest gesture would tell them what to do. I love that. See, a slave does not lead. A slave responds. A slave does not advance herself. She advances her master. Mary, the servant, was receptive. Mary, the humble, the first Mary, the slave, even though she had not planned for any of this herself, she had received from God the awesome task of bearing in her own body the Son of God, and she would do it with great and humble obedience. And here's the thing. If those amongst us today, if you and I are to receive the life of God in our lives in such a way, we must choose to obey with humility. Even though it may seem the worst thing possible we are being asked to do. Because understand this, to receive God's gift of new life may very well mean for you and me to accept from his hand, as a servant does, for a task from his master, something that at first may seem really unthinkable. But listen to how God operates. The worst thing we could imagine may turn out to be the best thing that ever happened to us. Possibly. And I wonder amongst the church today, as a people of God who come in here Sunday after Sunday, are any of us facing such difficulty today in your marriage, in your career, in your health? Can you see that, though, as an opportunity to obey God and serve God in a way you've never dreamed of before? Is it an opportunity? That's the hope that is held out to us in the example of Mary, because she knows again that her future and her body and her reputation are not her own, but her master's. And because she understands that, she is now free to let go and let God do an amazing miracle in her life. And maybe if you're waiting for that miracle, you need to let go and be obedient to God and be humble in your walk with God. One of the most frequently asked questions I ever get, still get to this day as a pastor, is this, and you will know it: how do I know the will of God for my life? How do I know God's will? And there are so many different ways we could answer that question. So many ways. Here's the best response I can give any of you, and it's very simply to say this: don't worry. Don't worry about God telling you what he wants you to do. Listen to this. God wants us to know his will better than we want to know it. So here's the thing. Don't worry about God getting through. Here's the key. Worry instead about whether you will do it when he shows it or reveals it. That's the key. Because here's what I am learning through my life. And it's got to do with preparation. It's our readiness. It's our readiness to do as we're told that will make it possible for us to see what it is God wants us to do. If we're preparing ourselves right now in this moment for God to move, God will reveal and God will bring clarity and God will show us what to do. When you look at Mary, it was the servant in Mary that set her apart in the eyes of God and made it possible for him to speak to her in the way that he did. And it is the servant in each one of us that will be able to hear the voice of God. So Mary the receptive, Mary the humble, Mary the servant. And I wonder, is it this way? Is it like mother, like son? Or better, is it like son or mother? Mary, for us, is the prototypical disciple. And hear this. All of those who come after her must learn to follow Jesus as she did, even at the point of conception. She exemplifies the mystery that God chooses to accomplish his amazing work, his purposes in history through people. And the paradox of all of this is that she can do nothing without God. Same for us. Same principle applies for us. Without God, we can do nothing. Church, the course of all human history was determined by the choice, by the decision, the answer that Mary gave. Jesus says, the angels of heaven rejoice when a sinner comes to repentance. That suggests to me today that all the inhabitants in heaven are keeping a close watch on us, the inhabitants of earth. We don't like to hear this, but we are a race under surveillance, massively. All of heaven, right now, as we sit here, all of heaven is standing on its tiptoes to see and hoping that our answers will be right. Our response will be right, but who knows? Certainly, our own future hinges on the answers that we give back to God. And I don't know, I can't say what God is asking you as an individual or a person to do right now, but you know yourself. Brothers and sisters, I know you know what God is asking you to do. And my prayer is for every one of us. May we have the grace to say, I am the servant of the Lord. May it be to me as you have said. I'm going to finish with a reflection and a video clip here. We've shown this before. But it kind of brings it all home to us. The power of the video, the power of words. So if we can kill the house lights once we're done, Jonathan will come back. Thanks for listening. Be humble in your walk with God. Have your ears open and hear what God is saying. And God may ask you to do some major things in your life if your heart is right before him. God bless you all.
With a babe inside, and I want